Today's first lesson is taken from Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. Moses said, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, 'If I hear the voice of the Lord my God anymore, or ever again see this great fire, I will die.' Then the Lord replied to me, 'They are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet, who will speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die.'" Here ends the lesson. We will read Psalm 111 responsively by verse. Hallelujah! I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright, in the congregation. His work is full of majesty and splendor, and his righteousness endures forever. He gives food to those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant.
He has shown his people the power of his works, and given them the lands of nations.
The works of his hands are faithfulness and justice. All his commandments are sure.
They stand fast forever and ever, because they are done in truth and equity.
He sent redemption to his people. He commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Those who act accordingly have a good understanding. His praise endures forever.
Today's second lesson is taken from 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. Now concerning food sacrificed to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge, but anyone who loves God is known by him. Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists, and that there is no God but one. Indeed, even though there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. It is not everyone, however, who has this knowledge. Since some have become so accustomed to idols until now, they think of the food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us close to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you, who possess knowledge, eating in the temple of an idol, might they not, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to the point of eating food sacrificed to idols? So, by your knowledge, those weak believers for whom Christ died are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your family and wound their conscience, when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is a cause of their failing, I will never eat meat so that I may not cause one of them to fall. Here ends the lesson.
Lord, you know, Lord, you shall be known.
Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then, there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the gospel of the Lord. Time, yes, the children's sermon. So join me. Great. I better get a seat over here. I didn't mean to cut you off. Hello. I have a seat. Good to see you today. How are you? Good. Almighty God, may the words that are spoken guide us as we seek to understand your love and mercy and grace. Amen. Now, do you have rules in your house? You do, okay. And rules? And who's in authority then in the house? Your parents, right? In most of our homes, our parents are in authority, right? And that's a good thing. And as you grow up, those rules will probably change. You'll be able to have a little more freedom and do more things, but that authority that they share is very important. In the nation and in the world, there are authorities in government on every level, and those we are guided by those rules and laws. And just like in our household, the rules might change as we get older. In our nation, rules and laws change. Many laws have changed. What I'm thinking about is how we care for the earth. We are doing more in terms of trying to recycle and take care better care of the earth. And you did that in Vacation Bible School. You were working with nature and caring for the earth and the plastic that you worked with. So you understand that. So some rules do change. But today we're talking in these lessons about God's authority and God's rules, most clear in the Ten Commandments and in the law of God's love for us and all people. And that law of God doesn't change. That indeed is the law that guides us. And in that law, God says, love God with all our heart, love each other, the creation, all creatures, and love ourselves as we love our neighbors, and our neighbors are everyone. And so today, in light of all of that, I want to give you that very passage in a form of a sticker. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. So I'll give you that and that you can stick it somewhere. If the authority in your home is particular about where you stick this, we've included a magnet that you can attach, and maybe the authority would like you to put it on the refrigerator or something like that, okay? But that, I'm just making it usable for what our figures of authority might say. So here is, and that's important, and I know you know that. So I'm going to give you one. That passage is a good one to read and remember, and I know you will do that as you give thanks to God and seek to love God and love each other. Almighty God, bless each of you, and I have one more, don't worry, I have plenty more. Amen. Thank you. We like your energy. Oh, how's everything in your household? Waiting for a... How's your mother? She's doing well. Wow. Today's the due date, right? Our prayers are with you. But it may not be today. We don't know. Okay. The blessing of Almighty God be with each of you. Amen. Thank you. You're always so energetic. So you can go back. We have children's church. Excellent. Okay. I'm glad you like to stay up front. Okay. I've somehow misplaced that little lectern I was using, so I'll be here this Sunday, but I'll find it. Nothing to worry about. Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words that are spoken and how we listen be guided by the Holy Spirit and true to your word of life and love, that we may indeed do and fulfill your will in Jesus' name. Amen. By what authority? By whose authority? Authority is the power to control, to give directions, to enforce laws. Of all the powers that impact us, and there are many, the supreme authority in our life is, as you know, Almighty God. And what is amazing and mysterious is that God exercises God's authority in love for us and for our creation, all creation. Not so much ordering us around, but loving us. God is our creator, and God forms us, gives us life and gifts and talents. God loves us into being, for God is love. And we are created in God's love to love God, all people, all creatures, all creation. God exercises authority in creative love. God is our Savior. In the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, our Lord empties himself of power and authority and lives in our midst, dies for our sake, is raised from the dead. God, with all authority, exercises authority in sacrificial love. God is our comforter and faith-forming advocate. In the stirring of the Holy Spirit, we are comforted. We are formed in faith and sent out on a mission of love and service for the good of all people and all creation. Again, God with all authority expresses authority in transformative love. God's authority calls us not to give controlling orders, as tempted as we are to do that. God's authority calls us to love in a sacrificial, self-giving, unconditional way, always and everywhere. As you know and as you've heard, today's lessons revolve around God's authority and our place in a world where God's authority and human authority operate in different ways and are often in conflict, and we see it today clearly at this time in which we live. Human authority, God's authority, in deep conflict. In Deuteronomy 18, God speaks through God's prophets to reveal God's will. The prophets will speak for God because their words come from God. The authority here is God. And as you heard in the lesson, if any prophet speaks in the name of other gods, or speaks in God's name a word that God has not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall surely die. Well, that should wake us up. So in all of our speaking, it is important to know where our words are coming from, and to make sure that if we speak in God's name, And as I think about that, when you and I are speaking, we are speaking, as in a sense, reflecting God's love in our Christian faith. As we speak in God's name, have we listened and heard God's word and will? When I say listening to God, and I think you're getting used to this now, I mean setting some time aside to be silent in whatever it is, your daily devotions. But don't just read what other people are saying in your devotions. Be silent to clear your mind and heart and calm your heart to listen to God calling. And what is God saying, not through what you're reading, but what is God saying to you? For God is speaking. Authority is God's word, and we are called to listen. We practice that at council meetings. We practice some silence to listen. Sometimes it's uncomfortable because we like to fill the silence with words. But words that are not grounded in silent listening maybe are better left unsaid. In 1 Corinthians 8, authority is seen not only as words, but also you see as an example our deeds and how we live. Here Paul argues that love reveals God's authority. In Pauline theology, love, not knowledge, reveals God's authority. Knowledge puffs up, you heard, but love builds up. Paul says eating food offered to idols is not the issue. But if some, like new believers in Jesus, if it might cause them confusion, then Paul says we will not eat food offered first to idols in order not to confuse those still growing in the faith. Now, I know that seems confusing and unrelated, and maybe it is. But the underlying point is definitely related. Because the message is the behavior and the example of those who have an authority, or at least looked up to as a model. Here, authority and how we live and the example we set is seen as care for people and a loving, affirming care by how we live and affect others. In Mark 1, Jesus reveals God's authority through power over destructive forces. The unclean spirit in the synagogue recognizes Jesus. It's pretty amazing. Oh yes, the unclean spirits recognize God. Jesus as the one with authority, the Holy One of God. The unclean spirits are weak and afraid. But the unclean spirits can do a lot of damage. They seek to divide people, to judge people as good or bad. The unclean spirits seek to say those are acceptable and those are unacceptable. Those are in and those are out. Those are saved and those are condemned. Unclean spirits given room in people's hearts can cause behavior that is overly critical, belittling, seeking advantage over others, ready to pounce, ready to critique. Listening to unclean spirits can cause behavior that prejudges, lies and cheats and wastes, and uses more than is needed and seeks to accumulate more than any one person or group of people need. In God's love, we seek to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And we are called not to be listening to those disruptive, destructive, harmful spirits that might seek to stir you and enter your heart. When we face people who are prejudging and creating division or abusing the truth, we have the guidance of the Holy Spirit to share God's creative, sacrificial, transforming love, and to work for reconciliation. We don't ignore it. We don't pretend that it's okay. We stand up and against prejudging, divisive,
abuse of truth behavior. And the world depends on some people to stand and do that. Today is Reconciling in Christ Sunday, which celebrates the beautiful diversity of God's creation and people. As I've said before, we are a Reconciling in Christ Synod, and in our inclusive welcome statement that was adopted in 2016, we say, and I quote, "In the Lower Susquehanna Synod of the ELCA, we feed the hungry as we have been fed by Christ. We welcome all who are seeking God's love and grace. We welcome all because God welcomes all, regardless of race or culture, sexual orientation, gender identity, or relationship status. We welcome all without regard to addiction, physical or mental health, imprisonment, or socioeconomic circumstances, or anything that too often divides us. Our unity is in Jesus Christ." End of quote. Reconciling in Christ Sunday. Well, I would say to you, every Sunday and every day is Reconciling in Christ Day, a day to celebrate the full inclusion and affirmation of the LGBTQIA+ community, and also all people that are named in that statement of welcome, who have too often been told by those who claim to speak for God that they are not welcomed in the church, and that somehow they are not acceptable by God. How can we heal the damage that so many have already done? Certainly, an inclusive statement of welcome and living into that welcome, as radical as it might seem, is a way to start. Because all are welcomed. All are our siblings. All are embraced by Almighty God. Healing occurs when, among many voices shouting at us, claiming to speak with authority, that we take the time to recognize that there is only one voice of authority that we should be listening to, and that comes from Almighty God. It's a voice calling us to share the loving word of God's welcome, acceptance, and affirmation of all people. Healing occurs when we hear God's call to stand with the outcast, the exploited, the asylum seekers, and those suffering from violence, war, and hatred. Healing occurs when we work for acceptance and full inclusion of all people and work for justice and peace in all the earth. By what authority? By whose authority? You and I are here now to believe and embody the unconditional love of God's authority, which is the only true life. And when it is shared, it provides a thriving life for all people. Do not underestimate the urgency of the moment in which we live. God calls us to speak truth to those who exercise authority in ways that are self-serving, dividing, and hurtful to too many of God's cherished people. Be strong. Listen deeply. Stand with God. Amen. The blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with each of you. Amen.